Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, March 3, 2024, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 7. The number of completion. We'll be all done when we finish that chapter 7. Romans 7, and in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, yesterday the evangelism team went to Child Haven. I want to thank you all for your prayers in regard to that. And a great victory and a great update. We had a fantastic time at Child Haven. Six girls and 10 boys came over for the classes. Karina gave the gospel using the wordless book before each class. They brought the teen girls over first, and we had Bibles to give each one, and they put their name inside. One girl told Sherry Castillo that she wasn't religious and that Sherry could give her Bible to someone else. Sherry replied, "You aren't religious? Well, that's great. God doesn't want us to be religious. He loves us and wants us to believe in Jesus and have a personal relationship with Him." She asked the girl if she wanted to be loved, and the girl shook her head, "Yes." Sherry said, "Well, you are loved. God loves you very much, and He wants you to love Him." The girl smiled, and she kept her Bible. Sherry talked with her again and told her She was glad that she was able to come to class and that Jesus loves her very much. Irene taught the girls and Daria taught the boys. They all loved receiving their own Bible and learning how to look things up. The rest of the team members helped as they learned how to find a specific verse. They both did a great job teaching Psalm 23 and how that applies to Jesus Christ and the believer. They also went over volition and rebound and the filling of the Holy Spirit and eternal security. How God is perfect and has a perfect plan for their life. They stressed our volition in choosing to believe in Jesus Christ or not. To live in God's perfect plan by His supernatural power or to live our own plan by our own power. They all got to pick out a Bible promise book and received a kit with promises, colored pencils, and post-it notes. We are all so thankful to God for all the answered prayers and for the opportunity to go back to Child Haven. The staff members were very positive and very helpful. They also received gospel booklets and UBC class schedules. Please keep these teens, their families, and the staff at Child Haven in your prayers. Thank you very much from Jamie and the entire evangelism team. God was using you in a very wonderful way. What a fantastic. I'm not religious. Great. God doesn't want you to be religious. He loves you and wants you to have a personal relationship with Him. That's it. All right, well, we are in Romans chapter 7. And in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul illustrates by analogy what he taught in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in His death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father. Now, in Romans chapter 7, Paul is going to illustrate what he taught in Romans 6 through the battle of the two husbands. The first marriage goes from physical birth to salvation, faith in Christ. The husband is the sin nature, the wife is the unbeliever, the marriage counselor is the Mosaic law. And then the second marriage goes from spiritual birth, regeneration at salvation. The husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wife is the believer. The marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. And the key illustration is given in Romans 7, verses 2 through 4. In the Mosaic law, legitimate divorce means death, and therefore the death of the first husband, the sin nature, is really divorce. And that means that the ex-husband, the sin nature, is still very much alive and is residing inside your body, the flesh, or the sarx in the Greek. The ex-husband, the sin nature, keeps on trying to become the authority of your life after salvation by sending up temptations from the lust patterns. The first husband, the sin nature, is in a state of divorce from the believer, the wife, but he's still trying to get back as the authority in your life. And this creates great internal conflict in the life of the believer, and that's Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, we have the two marriages. Romans 7, 1 through 6. We got through verse 1. Ta-da! Romans 7, 1 begins, "Or are you ignorant, brethren?" And you have to understand the Apostle Paul. This is sanctified sarcasm, and he is saying, yes, you are very ignorant. And then he says, "For I am speaking to those who claim to know and to understand the Mosaic law." So Paul is using sanctified sarcasm. He is writing this to believers who claim to know and understand the Mosaic law. You see, they view themselves as experts of the Mosaic law. But the Apostle Paul says, in reality, you are very ignorant when it comes to knowing and understanding the Mosaic law. You must know the true purpose of the Mosaic law, and you must not distort it into a false gospel, which is salvation by works, or into legalism and self-righteousness. The Mosaic law was the marriage counselor of our first marriage to the sin nature when we were unbelievers. In Codex number 1, the marriage counselor, the Mosaic law, declares to us as unbelievers, you have a bad marriage. You have a problem. You're married to the sin nature. You are in spiritual death. You are sinners, and you need a Savior. And then in Codex number 2, the marriage counselor, the Mosaic law, points to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior through shadow Christology and soteriology. Now, the Mosaic law is absolutely perfect because it came from God and it has fulfilled its purpose. But now it is finished as the marriage counselor for us as believers after salvation, Romans 8, 2 through 4. The Mosaic law was our marriage counselor when we were unbelievers from physical birth to salvation. But now, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a new marriage counselor, and that is God the Holy Spirit. Now, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, we have the contrast of the two marriage counselors. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6 says, "Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant," a new contract, not of the letter, not of the Mosaic law, but of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. "For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So there's the contrast of the two marriage counselors. So verse 1 says in corrected translation, "Or are you ignorant, brethren?" Royal family, yes, you are very ignorant. "For I am speaking to those who claim to know and understand the Mosaic law, that the Mosaic law has jurisdiction over mankind as long as he lives. In other words, that period of time that he lives as an unbeliever. All right. You ready? One. In Romans chapter 7, verse 1, we see the Mosaic law as a restrainer. We see the Mosaic law as a restrainer. Two, the Mosaic law has jurisdiction or authority with regard to restraining the sin nature. The Mosaic law has jurisdiction or authority with regard to restraint of the sin nature. Three, therefore, the Mosaic law, as a marriage counselor of the unbeliever in his first marriage to the sin nature, possesses a certain authority over mankind. Therefore, the Mosaic law, as a marriage counselor of the unbeliever in his first marriage to the sin nature, possesses a certain authority over mankind. Four, the Mosaic law functions as a restrainer of the sin nature through Codex number 1, the commandments, and Codex number 3, the laws of divine establishment, the function of law enforcement, judicial punishment for criminal activity from the law, something which we don't seem to know too much about today in America. But the Mosaic law functions as a restrainer of the sin nature through Codex number 1, the commandments, and Codex number 3, the laws of divine establishment, which are for the whole human race, the function of law enforcement and judicial punishment from the law for criminal activity. 5, restraint under the second marriage, marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, is through God the Holy Spirit as the marriage counselor of the second marriage and the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart. Now, I want you to look at a couple passages. Galatians 5:16, first of all. We've seen this passage several times, but here is the first part in Galatians 5:16, we have the Holy Spirit as the restrainer in our new marriage, the second marriage to Jesus Christ. Galatians 5, verse 16, so I say, walk, literally, peripateo, walk around, but it means to live. So I say, live your life by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. So the filling of the Spirit in your life and living your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit is a restrainer, restraining the lust patterns of the sin nature. All you have to do when the temptations come is by the filling of the Spirit is say no. Now turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Now, when you gave out these promise books, this might be one of the verses you had in the promise books you gave to the teenagers. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And in your heart, notice where you hid the word, in your heart. You all have Bibles, you're sitting there with the Bibles. It doesn't say I've hid your word in the Bible. I've hid your word in my heart. You've learned it, you believe it. It's now in your heart, and it serves here as a restrainer, that you might not sin against the Lord. So again, verse 1. Or are you ignorant, brethren? Royal family, yes, you are very ignorant. For I am speaking to those who claim to know and understand the Mosaic Law, that the Mosaic Law has jurisdiction over mankind as long as he lives, that period of time that he lives as an unbeliever. Now that brings us to verse 2. And we have, for the woman who hath an husband, Hagar hupandros gune. Now, in studying the scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the New Testament word for a woman is not very flattering. It sounds a lot like gune. It's gune. To help you out, I call it June. G-U-N long E. That's the Greek word. Now, the Hebrew word Isha. Ooh, Yah. Isha. I think the Hebrew nailed this for the ladies. Isha. But anyway, the one we got here, we're in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. It's gune. We have the conjunction gar, which is an explanatory gar, translated for. And then we have june, the Greek word for woman, and it's used here for a married woman. And this married woman is modified by an adjective, hupandros. H-U-P-A-N-D-R-O-S. Hupandros. Now, this is a very excellent, great word. Let's get a couple of points on this. First of all, hupandros is a compound word from the preposition hupa, which means under the authority of. I put the line in the wrong place. And you all caught that, right? Okay. Hupandros. And on, this is the noun on air. Now I want you ladies to realize that in the divine institution of marriage, who invented marriage? The Lord Jesus Christ invented marriage. He's the expert on marriage. If you want to have a happy and successful marriage, you need to know what the Word of God, the mind of Christ, has to say about it. He's the expert. And the word for the husband here is on air, and that means nobleman. Under the authority of your husband is under the authority of your noble husband, honorable husband, virtuous husband. What a great word for the husband, on air. Now, in our illustration from Romans 6 to Romans 7, of course, we got two husbands. One of them has no honor. That's the old sin nature. The other one has maximum honor. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But right now, we're going to take a look at the divine institution of marriage. The Lord Jesus Christ invented the divine institution of marriage. So point one, hupandros, means under the authority of your noble husband. Two, therefore, literally, it means under the authority of a noble man. And here, under the authority of your noble husband. Three, so hupandros means under the authority of your noble husband or subordinated to the authority of your noble husband. Four, when it modifies the noun gune, as in our verse, then it's correctly translated the married woman. The married woman under the authority of her noble husband. So this, when it modifies the noun gune, it's the married woman under the authority of her honor, her noble husband. All right. For the married woman, the wife, under the authority of her noble husband. Now, I want to take a little aside here, because we're living in times when it used to be that marriages among believers, they had enough of the Word of God that they learned and believed that there was great stability in those marriages. But we're living in times today when there's no difference between unbelievers and believers. Believers are acting and living like unbelievers. And so today you have divorce among believers just as much and just as often as divorce among unbelievers. That really you can't tell the difference. Because we have gotten away from the expert. Who's the expert on the divine institution of marriage? Jesus Christ, the one who invented marriage. He's the expert. If you want to have a happy and successful marriage, then you go to the mind of Christ and find out from the guy who invented it, the one who invented it. He invented it to be fantastic. He invented the divine institution of marriage to be amazing, happy, successful. So I'm going to take a little bit of an aside here. One, in the Greek, the phrase hei hupandros gune teaches us that God designed the divine institution of marriage as a system of authority. Hupa on air, under the authority of your noble man, your noble husband. So in the Greek, the phrase hei hupandros gune teaches us that God designed the divine institution of marriage as a system of authority. Two, the man in the divine institution of marriage, God designed it for the man to have 100% authority in the marriage relationship. And that means the woman has zero. The man has 100% authority, the woman has zero. That's how this divine institution was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, the man is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. The man is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. All right, we have here the key components that Jesus Christ put into this fantastic divine institution of marriage for the wives and for the husbands. He says, wives, hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S, long O. Hupotasso. Hupotasso is a military term, actually, and it means to be subordinate to authority. So this says, wives, hupotasso, your husbands. Be subordinate to the authority of your husbands. And guess what the word for husband is? On air. Your noble man. That noble man, that husband you're married to. So this says, wives, be subordinate to your on air, your noble husband, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church, hupotassos, as the church is subordinate to the authority of Christ, so also wives should be hupotasso, subordinate to the authority of their husbands in a few things. No, in everything. Son, who wrote that? I bet my husband wrote that. No, I wrote it. No, I didn't write it either. I know I look that old, but I'm not that old. In everything. Who's the expert? Who invented marriage? Jesus Christ. Who's the expert in marriage? Jesus Christ. Fantastic divine institution. And he created it so that it would be fantastic. Great happiness, successful. And he has the basis for that to be true in your life. So, the man is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Four, therefore, as the church is subordinate to the authority of Christ, so the wife should be subordinate to the authority of her husband. Ephesians 5:24, in everything. Therefore, as the church is subordinate to the authority of Christ, so the wife should be subordinate to the authority of her husband in everything. Five. The most feminine, charming, and most beautiful women in the world are those who have the greatest respect for the authority of their husbands. The most feminine, charming, and most beautiful women in the world are those who have the greatest respect for the authority of their husband. Now, God has provided for you ladies absolute wonderful blessings. God has given you ladies great, great advantages. And he has placed you up on a pedestal. God places you ladies up on a pedestal of honor. But that pedestal of honor does not mean that you are the authority in the divine institution of marriage. You have no authority in the divine institution of marriage. Now, you husbands, you men, that does not mean at all in any way that you should ever, ever be a tyrant or abuse your authority. And God has given mandates for you husbands. And that's in verse 25. Look at Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What is that all about? The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself up on the cross for all mankind. He loved the world so much he was willing to go to the cross and receive the sins of the whole world in his body and the judgment of those sins. In other words, he loved us when we were at our worst. Jesus Christ loved us with infinite impersonal love, virtue love for all of us when we were at our worst, when we were spiritually dead and totally depraved. And that's the mandate for you husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And Jesus Christ loved us when we were at our worst, spiritually dead and totally depraved. So husbands, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and you love your wife with impersonal love for all. You love her with impersonal love. You love her with impersonal love when she's at her worst. And you love her with impersonal love when she's at her best. So you see, I look at the mandates given to the wife and the mandates given to the husband, and I think the husband's got the worst of this deal. Love your wife when she's at her absolute worst with impersonal love, just as Christ loved the church when we were at our worst. You want to have a fantastic marriage? You want to have a very happy and successful marriage? God wants you to as well. He wants you to have a happy, successful, phenomenal marriage. He invented it. He's the expert on it. And here's the key. So point six, for the man is commanded to love his wife with impersonal love just as Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 5:25. For the man is commanded to love his wife with impersonal love just as the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The husband is to be a man of great honor, integrity, and virtue. The husband is to have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And then he will be able to love his wife with impersonal love. as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. 7. Women are designed to have authority over children. They are great with children, absolutely phenomenal with children. But they were never designed to have authority over their husband. Now, Debbie has been a teacher working with children ever since she graduated from Washington State University. And she was a teacher up in Spokane, the state of Washington, and then she came down here, was a teacher down here. And she was the best, I'm going to brag on my wife, she was the best teacher in the city of Las Vegas. And she was recognized by the education community. She was the best teacher in the city of Las Vegas. She was phenomenal with children, absolutely phenomenal. And then, well, we started out with dogs. We started out with dogs and goldfish. Goldfish were pretty good, and the dog took a while. And then we decided to try it with children, and God blessed us with 2 brain-damaged children. We were so blessed to have 2 brain-damaged children. Of course, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, and I'm a tree, you know. So 7... Women are designed to have authority over children, but they were never designed to have authority over their husband. 8. No woman can achieve femininity or attractiveness when she rejects the authority of her husband. No woman can achieve femininity or attractiveness when she rejects the authority of her husband. 9. The difference between beauty and ugliness in the woman is found in one word, authority. The difference between beauty and ugliness in the woman is found in one word, authority. And so it's very important for you ladies to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Now, you can love your husband with impersonal love for all when he's at his worst. And he can love you with impersonal love for all when you're at your worst. And when you both have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, it's a slam dunk. You're going to have a fantastic marriage. A fantastic marriage. A marriage that's full of happiness and very successful. Nine, the difference between beauty and ugliness in the woman is found in that one word, authority. 10, no woman's beauty, and this is inner beauty, inner beauty. You know, one of the most, and I've mentioned this to you before, one of the most beautiful women I ever met was a lady with 11 terminal illnesses, bound to a wheelchair. Her name was May Walker. And I had some friends from state of Washington, who their responsibility was to pick her up and get her to BRAC on time, get her to the church on time, and then take her back home. And so I was at their house for dinner, and they had May Walker there at dinner. There she was in her wheelchair, 11 terminal illnesses, and that woman was the most beautiful woman I have ever seen. As soon as I introduced myself, she goes, "I know you. You're one of my boys. I pray for you every single day." I said, "Well, thank you very much, ma'am. Now I know why things are going so well at Dallas Seminary. I got a prayer warrior like you praying for me every single." She knew every name on that prayer list at Baraka. Every name. And we were talking, and she says, "You know, I listen to some of the people in the congregation at Baraka, and they say, you know, the colonel is repeating himself too much. He repeats too much." She goes, "He's not repeating too much. He's not teaching it to us so we remember it. He's teaching it to us so we never forget it." And I said, "Amen, sister." And she says, "I have 11 terminal illnesses and I should be in heaven, but I'm still here because the colonel needs me. I pray for him all the time." And they'd bring her in her wheelchair, and wheel her right down in front of the pulpit there in Baraka, and then put the brake on so she didn't hit the pulpit. And that was one of the most beautiful women I have ever, ever seen. Inner beauty. Inner beauty. She had the greatest respect for the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the pastor teaching the Word of God. And that just glowed with inner beauty. However, the woman that reacts to the authority of her husband makes herself a monster. She makes herself a monster. But the woman who is subordinate to the authority of her husband is the most attractive of all of God's creatures. The most attractive of all of God's creatures. So verse 2 begins, "For the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband." All right. We'll stop there, take a break, and when we come back, the Lord's table.